Welcome back to DMnastics, the gym for dungeon masters to work out their minds. I am DM Neil, aka Jotmaniac.
And I am DM Mainprize, not aka Jotmaniac.
No, that would be confusing. Although I guess technically on the forums I could edit your posts and stuff.
Don't do that. Don't confuse them.
Alright, I won't do it. So for this one, we're going to tie it back to episode number 45, Paladin Born and Paladin Bred. And for that, the guest was Paladin Caleb. I mean, no surprise. Clearly. Yeah, no surprise there. And we might have him join us later. We'll see.
Yes.
And so for the DMnastics, I called it Order.
Matt, now let's address this. I believe it's Order! Because the second one is in all caps.
True, I did yell on the internet by putting all caps. My bad.
No, I wanted the listener at home to know this is some serious order.
True. And what we did was we created collaboratively, as the forum users are wont to do, and probably like we had discussed last time, one of the favored methods, we collaboratively created a paladin order. And I'll let you take the first couple pieces.
Okay, I can do this. I think I have the skills. The name of the order that was come up with on the forums was the Mind of the Stars, which I think that's a really cool name in general. But then when you kind of dig a little bit deeper into it, you find out that the patron deity of this order is Pelor. And I'm not the most, you know, proficient in my history and in my religion checks, but I'm pretty sure he is a sun deity in the D&D kind of settings. And yes. So that kind of fits that this group is attached to the stars in some way. Maybe not the sun specifically, but the stars as a whole. So I think that's a nice little tie-in there. The preferred alignment for members of this order would be neutral good. Our little snippet here says, the mind of the stars recognize the need for subversive techniques in some of their intelligence gathering. They aren't wanton about it and must technically obtain warrants from the local judiciary to enter a premises without permission. But a little trespass / breaking and entering isn't oathbreaker material when the circumstances demand a swift and immediate response. They would never engage in torture or blackmail to coerce a suspect and avoid lethal force against any non-undead / fiend, including monstrous humanoids like trolls, orcs, goblins, etc. So that kind of gives you a little idea of what they're about. Seems like they're kind of about gathering information, but they want to go about it the proper way. They're also not going to do anything, you know, no enhanced interrogation techniques for these guys, and they attempt to not kill other people or use lethal force unless the people they're attacking fit certain requirements.
So their mission, if they choose to accept it... I don't know, I feel like that's the only way you can say those lines, but, oh no, my envelope caught on fire, is to shed the light on the evil that hides in the shadows so that they may be judged and commit unknown evil no more. They're dedicated to rooting out evil anywhere and everywhere that isn't readily apparent. It's not like they're not the guys that are going to go to the front lines of a war against a bunch of devils. That's just not what they're called to do. You know, like you're saying, more of that subversive hidden cult. That's what they're going to stop. Like finding vampires, werewolves, things that are only coming out at night. You can't figure out who they are during the day. So that more almost... Secret paladin is... That's I also said that because I play too much Hearthstone, but... Secret Paladin is a popular deck these days. So the next thing we have is the heraldry, or the symbol for the order. This was the thing that I kicked off the thread with, and I swear it was somebody on DeviantArt, and I promise it was for Planescape, which if you haven't played Planescape, go. Find it. Play it. And I believe this was specifically from Planescape Torment, an old game from like the 90s. Probably, this may be blasphemous, but I'll say it. Better than the old Baldur's Gate games.
Ooh, easy now, Neil.
But, follow me here. It was still like the same basic engine, also using the D&D 2E, but it was just in a different like campaign setting. Namely
okay,
Planescape.
Okay, then we'll accept it.
Okay, done. I'm in. I'm all right. So the symbol itself is a shield with a sword going through it, and the hilt is above it, and there's like a sunburst coming off of the hilt. So I believe that was the inspiration for the deity Paelor.
Mm-hmm. I really also like the idea of kind of the secret paladins, that they're out there kind of fighting against these unknown terrors of the night. Reminds me of the old CW show Supernatural, which I believe is still on. It's, you know, about two brothers that go around hunting things that go bump in the night. But in one of the later seasons, I think around season maybe 7 or 8, they find out that there used to be this organization called the Men of Letters, who kind of like supplied the hunters with the lore and information they needed to track down and hunt these kind of evil creatures. So if you want to look for maybe an inspiration for a campaign or story using this order, the Mind of the Stars, maybe check out that TV show. I think it is on Netflix, so you could watch some episodes there.
And it is still going. It is currently in its 11th season.
Pretty sweet. Lots of lore there. So another thing we want to ask about these paladin orders, and the one we create here on the forums, is why did this group form? And so the answer we got for that was that it was originally a group of traveling adventurers, and they had helped a nearby kingdom quell a rebellion and restore the king to his rightful throne. But it wasn't until after that all the war and the fighting was done, the group found out that Lord Mahazael was actually a vampire. So one of the members of this adventuring group, Trey Dovin, he was the party's priest of Paelor. He was appalled that, you know, he had helped a vampire regain power. And so realizing he couldn't convince his friends or the surrounding populace to try and correct their mistake, especially when, you know, Mahazael, this vampire, hadn't technically done anything outright wrong, Trey decided to stay behind in the nearby mountains and just prepare for kind of the inevitable, you know, that Mahazael would eventually, his evil nature would seep out into the surrounding populace. Slowly, Trey gathered like-minded individuals to watch over the evil kingdom and make sure that its taint would not spread.
I think it's a super interesting origin story. It's almost reverse engineered of a great idea that people could use in their own campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Mitch and Chris have talked a lot about how their different campaigns can, you know, I mean, affect later timelines in their world. And, like, this is a fantastic thing. You know, I mean, Trey Dovin could be one of the player characters you have at your table right now. And then this is the story that they hear about the next set of characters they make, is that this is what one of their characters has done in the time that has passed.
Totally.
Super, super cool.
And I think this also kind of falls into that category that I think Lou Anders was talking about when they were giving their top 10 story ideas, of that, like the classic story idea of, like, you've been fighting for the wrong side, and then kind of how do you handle that once you find out.
Nice. One of the other topics was, where are they founded? Where does the Paladin Order, the Mind of the Stars, call home? And they were founded in a cathedral hidden high among the peaks of a mountain. And it was in this cathedral dedicated to Paelor that several several archbishops, paladins, and clerics gathered. They created a symbol of Paelor's might and righteousness. This cathedral is known as the Pillar of Light. Many of the devout followers of Paelor gather there to make their offerings, as it's the best place to see the sunrise in the region. Good. Obviously,
that's lovely.
It's hidden. Yeah, it's hidden in the mountains. And it would make sense, kind of tying it back to the why did they form? You know, the amount of time that Trey Dovin could have spent building this temple to Paelor while just waiting for something to happen, essentially having no other cause than just building and making it awesome. Essentially, the Pillar of Light is like a place that people who pray to Paelor make like their pilgrimage there. Like, it's the
it's
best
like the
place.
Mecca,
yeah,
of Paelor.
The Paelor pilgrimage of people.
Yes. The people of Paelor pilgrimaging. Can we turn that into a verb?
Pilgrimaging? Pill rummaging. That's all I ended up hearing.
Pilgrimaging.
So I'm thinking that we should try and come up with something new and exciting to add to what we've already talked about. And I know that you had mentioned maybe the ritual for getting indoctrinated. Indoctrinated into the Paladin Order, the Mind of the Stars.
So, yeah, I guess, I mean, it's good to, when you're thinking about something like this, think about other ceremonies of induction, you know, whether that's like a, you know, like the ceremony of someone being knighted, or whether it's something like a trial, like you have to go and complete some tasks, you know, like Hercules had to complete his 7 trials, not so much to join a paladin order, but, you know, to achieve some goal. You know, what tasks would an acolyte, you know, someone who's hoping to join the Mind of the Stars, what would he have to achieve? Now I see an easy option in my mind would be they have to go somewhere that is dark, or they have to take kind of like the Olympic torch. They have to take a torch or something that was lit in the Pillar of Light in their temple and take it somewhere where there is no light and leave it there to kind of like take these like beacons of Pelor's light and spread them to the dark places of the world. So maybe they would have to take the torch and run it down into the Underdark and place it there. That's what instantly comes to my mind.
The scene that comes to my mind is when in Lord of the Rings where they light all of the towers.
Yes.
Essentially, because the Pillar of Light isn't set into the hill, they go into a cave and, you know, and obviously have to defeat darkness, things that are in the dark, this, that, the other, however that happens, and, you know, get the torch to its rightful place, and then that's when, like, at the top of a different mountain that you can see from the Pillar of Light, it catches fire.
The Beacons of Amondine.
Ah, yes.
As they were called.
I started rewatching all of them on the extended edition Blu-ray because you should know nothing else.
Don't tempt me, Frodo.
And I'm halfway through.
I have
the first trilogy.
I have all 3 extended edition 720p on my phone so that at any time if I need to, you know, watch The Charge of the Rohirrim.
A sword day. A red day. And the sun rises!
Or the Battle of Helm's Deep.
What's happening out there?
Shall I describe it to you? Or would you like me to find you a box?
Or the Council of Elrond.
You have my sword.
And you have my bow.
And my axe.
It's just at my fingertips.
You and I are of like minds. That's exactly what I put on my phone or mobile device anytime I go to a convention where I will either be in lines or sitting.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have Lord of the Rings trilogy and Guardians of the Galaxy is the only videos on my phone.
I have the Lord of the Rings trilogy and the 13th Warrior. What's
Ooh,
up?
Ooh, low.
Possibly one of the best D&D party adventure movies ever.
It's pretty, pretty dang good.
Yes. Okay, so after that tangent, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in a special guest to do some of the heavy lifting. And yes. Unfortunately, we haven't renovated the DMnastics gym enough to have 3 people.
No.
But we might soon.
Soon. Yeah, my muscles are feeling kind of sore. I gotta go hit the protein shake.
Nice.
Yes. You know how it is.
Yeah, didn't take enough pre-workout.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't get to have my pre-workout steak. My dragon flank steak.
Yes. So I will bid you adieu and see if we can't convince none other than Pallet and Caleb to join me.
Amazing. Well, this was a pleasure as always.
See ya.
Yeah.
So like I said, we are going to bring in an expert to talk more about this paladin order that we've created on the forums, and now we have with us none other than Paladin Caleb.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, so I figured the real heavy lifting, we'd get an expert on paladins, as it were. So Caleb and I have talked for all of 30 seconds before this to figure out what extra stuff we can add to this order that already has some amazing content of which you've already heard.
Yeah.
So is there anything that jumps out at you, Caleb, to add on to this order?
Well, I don't know about to add on, but I do like this preserve life tenet. I think that that's really effective. I especially like the idea of tying it into Pelor and with Pelor being stronger when anyone willingly enters the light. And preventing people, evil beings, from having that opportunity is less than ideal. It's obviously not bad to kill evil beings, but if you can do it without killing them, if you can turn them to good, then that's a lot better. I like that sort of nuanced emphasis there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another good tenet that would fit well with that one, which I do. I agree. I really like it, is that, you know, it's almost that extra step in a way, yeah. Instead of the lawful stupid, just snuff it out.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that even fits a little bit even more with, I think that at the same time, it actually accentuates kind of an aspect of the lawful stupid that people get irritated when they play with, but not as paladins, when they play with another player character that's playing as paladin. That on paladins, in the classic paladin at least, tends to be very, and you're not just going to kill somebody if they surrender, then you're going to accept their surrender. You're not going to kill somebody just to prevent bad things from happening, unless they've like betrayed you in the past a number of times and you know better than to just, and you're not going to be actually stupid about it. But anyway, all that to say, I feel like this kind of, while it mitigates some of the lawful stupid just run in and bash things aspect of a paladin, it also kind of accentuates some of the more frustrating out of combat play things as someone who's playing with a paladin rather than as a paladin.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good call. You almost want a amendment to the tenant. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
Oh, so the preserve life one, like you said, the paladin, the lawful stupid, it's like, oh, okay, they said they surrender, now we have to take them and not kill them and do all this. But I think with the preserve life is that it's stronger when any being willingly enters his light. You almost want to have something to have them be able to say, okay, it's not going to work. And
well, I feel like that's, there's some degree that's just kind of implicit in, I mean, just because you have a paladin code doesn't mean you're going to be just absolutely stupid in your in your application of it. In fact, I feel like that's where some people get misguided. But no, what I was saying is that actually I feel like this makes it so that you're even more inclined to kind of press towards and say, you know, like, unless I know that it's just a really stupid idea, I'm going to try and preserve life and accept surrenders and even try to encourage people to surrender, try to avoid killing people if I can, and encourage them to surrender. And again, unless they've just betrayed me a lot of times, I feel like this really accentuates that. And I feel like that's a good thing. I feel like it adds a lot of player flavor to it.
Okay, yeah.
I also like this relic thing. I mean, relics aren't really something I tend to interact with a lot as a player or in any particular campaigns that I've DM'd or created to DM. But I do like this sort of, it gives the DMs an aspect of just kind of something that they can put in there to motivate the paladin of this order to forward and to go a particular direction if that's what the DM is inclined to do.
Yeah, definitely make it a mission to, especially if it's been taken out of the order or out of out from under Paylor, for sure. Gotta set out on your crusade.
Exactly, yeah. You could even just do it like right from the beginning, and that's just kind of what this paladin's motivation is, and if for some reason the entire group is motivated to go to the paladin. I especially like, in the notable figures business, I especially like the this reformed vampire general that was with the original kind of instigating group of bad people for this order, but he's apparently turned and joined them, and now we have this sort of long-term, basically eternal member of this order to recruit, and also to even specialize in recruiting people from the dark side. Like, I think that's really cool. I don't know whose idea that was. I haven't really been as active as I like to be in the forums, but yeah, I really like that idea. I think that's great.
It was Frotastic. Right. I believe.
Brotastic is a bro.
It's fro with an F. But
oh, dang it. Okay, well, frotastic is, I can't think of anything terribly punny for that. So
that's awesome. I'm trying to think of what would be a good tenant to add back to, or add on to the two that are there. The one that came to mind real quick, and let's see if you like it, is the mission, looking back towards the mission, is to shed light on the evil that hides. I think it would be interesting to have a tenant where no one paladin can stay in place for a certain amount of time. Like, they're
they're kind of they're not like a sedentary group as a group or as individuals. They're kind of a vagabond sort of order almost, right?
Is that what you're going for? Well, yeah, or that you would kind of have, they could only stay like at the temple or in a certain location for X amount of time and then have to go out for a set amount of time, essentially back and forth.
Yeah, that could be cool. I don't know if that would necessarily have a lot of effect on players or DMs, seeing as campaigns tend to be fairly action-oriented. But I think that as an idea for the Order, I think that that could definitely be valuable and useful. Just not necessarily in a practical way for the players, I don't know.
Yeah, the only practical thing I could come up with would be if you have a paladin in the group that's under this order, you could have them meeting other paladins of their order out in the world because they have to be.
Gotcha. So like that's kind of part of what they're doing as they're out there recruiting members and they're like it's just
yeah. And coming across other ones that are out on adventure as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know. Now the more that I think about it, the more interesting that is. I mean, because often when we create characters, we don't tie them back heavily to a group of other people. And when we mm-hmm. do, we often don't see that group in play. It's almost like they're just back where I came from. And if we go yep. back to where I came from, I see them. I think this would be a cool way to keep that flavor in the world.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, let's talk more about this good vampire. Let's talk about Blade. I mean, wait, Mahazeel. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, it was a vampire general of Mahazeel. Well, are you talking about the
Before, oh, the, that's right. Sorry.
The good guy or the bad guy you're talking about here?
Neg'thul is the...
Is the good guy.
Is the good guy. Mahazeel is yeah. the bad guy. All right. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I thought that was a really neat idea. I thought that was pretty great. I think that there's probably... Like when you were talking about like to build a new tenant, honestly, this kind of was kind of where I was drawn to think that there may be a new tenant to be had somewhere in here, just because this was, I don't know what the sort of timeline is in, as far as when this general was supposed to have begun his influence in Mahazeel, or when he was supposed to have kind of turned into the good side, and I don't know what that timeline is. But it seems like if it was early in the formation of the Order, that could have a particular influence on maybe even an emphasis for especially kind of targeting, recruiting, or that sort of the opportunity to turn people to good, having kind of as a core tenet an emphasis of that towards undead and what was the word for this here? The Children of the Night. I like that kind of broad categorization.
With werewolves mixed in there and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And it looks like, so it looks like he, it's interesting because there's not a timeline. There is and there is not. There's a generalized timeline that they were originally forming because Mahazeel, that's who they were fighting. But then, that's not, it's a vampire, Neg'thul, so that's not to say there wouldn't have been. I think we should add some more flavor to Neg'thul. I think it'd be interesting if Neg'thul is kind of like a point of contention mm-hmm. inside the Order, like I would think it'd be interesting if they fought him for a long time before getting him to reform.
So it's like it's a huge deal, like for the Order. It's not just like this one time thing. It's like, oh, this guy was a general, but then he's like, no, like this is like a huge segment of the Order's history that like this guy was an enemy, and then all of a sudden he is a good guy.
Yeah, I like that. I also think it'd be interesting to add someone that's kind of like the Neg'thul check and balance kind of person. Does it make sense? Like they
always
have
within the order, or
yeah, within the order, they always have someone like directly under him to be like the person that makes sure he doesn't go off the rails because he's still a vampire.
Yeah, but he's also like recruiting more vampires and everything, and so I feel like there's a degree to which we've kind of already accepted and really welcomed him and assumed that he is kind of a part of the order. I don't know to what extent a vampire can be a paladin. That seems like a weird sort of a mix to me. But I mean, if he can be good, then he can be a paladin. I don't know why he wouldn't.
I burnt myself again. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is there another notable figure that we would want to add?
Well, Trey Dovin, is this like the founding member? I didn't when I read that, I didn't go back to the beginning to see if that's who we were talking about. It looked like that was who we were talking about there, that we were basically talking about the founding member as Trey Dovin.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like there's got to be a lot of room for historical figures in the order. I can't like think of any like specific ideas off the top of my head, but I just feel like in an order like this where it's its own thing, I feel like there's got to be a lot of room for figures.
Do we want another... I mean, I think it'd be interesting to have someone that Neg'thul brought in be a prominent figure. Kind of like him helping ease the people's opinion of him by bringing in someone that brought a lot of good with him, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be that. Or I even see that, again, like kind of with this kind of along with this whole sort of idea that they give anything possible, they give opportunity to come to the good side, as many opportunities as they can before they have to, you know, engage some lethal force there. I think they even just kind of overlapping with what you said, rather than maybe not another vampire or something, but like a troll or a goblin or something that, or even like some kind of a fiend, something else that Negthul may have brought in. And again, like you said, kind of recruited maybe a troll or a goblin or a fiend or something like that. I think that could be really, really cool.
I say we go with troll, because if we go with goblin, that's stomp territory. And I don't want to get into stomp territory.
Yeah, right. No, you don't want to overlap with stomp.
No. We'll always fall short if we try and live up to that name. Let's see. I think we should try to think of a good troll name.
Names are not part of my skill set. I am horrible with names. Not good at thinking of them, not good at remembering them. It's just bad.
Done. Got it. All right. By the way, that just means I used the ever-changing book of names.
Nice.
Which is a super awesome app, and I think we should call him Hurog.
Hurod?
Hurog. H-U-R-O-G.
H-U-R-O-G. Hurog.
Yes. Hurog the Reformed Troll. Such an interesting thing, because like, can't they be like cut and then create more Hurogs? Like, I'm trying to remember all the troll lore. Yeah, no. So we have Hurog the Reformed Troll. Who should we? And I'm trying to think of other things that we could have.
Well, I imagine that Trey Dovin should have had either some initial recruits or maybe someone he brought along with him from kind of the original group of paladins that he used to, or group of people. I don't remember if they were all paladins that he used to help kind of set up Malzin in the first place. Or Mahazel.
Yep.
Kind of maybe someone from that group that he kind of brought along with him or later recruited into the group. Or maybe, into the order. Or, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's got to be a lot of space in this order's, because it's not like their single goal now is to bring down this kingdom. I mean, I feel like at some point that happens. And this order, I feel like has some, especially with these tenants that we've got here, I feel like it's got some longevity to it. So I feel like we can get some, I just feel like there's a lot of room for major characters and major historic achievements.
Yes. What would be a good historic achievement then? You're right. Like, looking at the order as a whole, it definitely has that feel of like it's been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What would be another good notable achievement?
Well, I think that there should be some achievement centered around the recruiting and turning of Negthul. I feel like, again, like, especially if that's going to be like that he was working, that he was like, he was an enemy for a long time, say a century or more even, and this has been like a major enemy of the order in this kingdom, and then all of a sudden he turns. I feel like there ought to be maybe even a series of really major events that kind of lead up to that. And maybe even there should be maybe at least a major event in which he's the enemy. Narrative is not like a great skill set of mine, but it just seems like those, and I don't know what those events would look like. It just seems like it'd be great if there were such events that we knew of.
I think it would be, what I'm coming up with is something after Negthul.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think of this one.
Okay.
If they reformed Negthul and every vampire that he Amway Pyramid scheme was the sire of is no longer a vampire.
No longer a vampire?
Yeah.
How would that work?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. But magic, fantasy, fantasy.
There's no rules to this thing. We just do it.
Done. Yeah. It's magic. But that'd be super interesting. You know what I mean? Like, he's essentially turned from the evil ways of being a vampire, and everyone that he had bitten and made a vampire is no longer a vampire. Like, that would be such an interesting goal.
That would. That's definitely, like, a really interesting thing. And I think it'd be really fun to come up with, like, sort of a logistical way that could happen. Maybe just some sort of, like, a magical energy in this particular world that this order exists that kind of is a part of his vampire-ness, and but at the same time, is like Negthul's still a vampire, right? Because I mean, it says that he's so it doesn't undo his vampirism, just all his sires.
Yeah, somehow. And it could be doing that and figuring that out could be one of the reasons why the preserve life tenant is there.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Again, I don't have a good sort of logistical idea of how that could be a thing. But I mean, all the stuff we've built around that, like, I like that.
Well, yeah, the logistic or mechanical method is not up to us, apparently.
Yeah.
We're merely idea men, Caleb. We're gonna let someone else be the feet on the ground for that one.
And it could even be a little bit of like a Deus Ex Machina sort of thing, where maybe Pelor steps in and sort of as part of Negthul's reformation, maybe even as like a instantaneous event that because of again, like there's events that lead up to this, or an event in which this happens, and kind of as a consequence of that, or as even part of the instigating event there, Pelor himself steps in and just undoes the vampirism of his sires.
And I like the idea of it not being him getting freed of vampirism as part of his penance.
Yeah. Yeah. Like his part of his penance is to keep on serving and keep on helping the order and take down the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. We did it. Sweet. I think that will do it, because we came up with some super awesome ideas, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I like them, yeah.
So if you are down to help me close it out, we can do that.
All right, cool. So if you like some of the ideas we came up with here for the new order, the Mind of the Stars, please, by all means, join with us at the forums and help us flesh out the details of this exciting order. You can do that at dungeonmasterblock.freeforums.net.
And while you're there, you can try some other of the other DMnastics, so your players don't ask, do you even lift?
I gotta get a pump.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it.